Thing. I think we'll take communion after the service today, so we can escape to Children's Church. Open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians. Now, last Sunday, we talked about praying for other believers. Now, sometimes people think, well, why should we have to pray for other believers? Well, you should. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Hold your finger in Ephesians. I want you to see something in Galatians chapter 6 while I pray for us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is always here to teach us and guide us, show us how to walk in the fullness of God. Father, we thank you that when we open your word, the Holy Spirit is here to open our eyes so that we can have wisdom and revelation, so that we can know the depths and the height and the width of your love for us in Christ Jesus and the power that operates in us because of him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 tells us to bear one another's burden. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now that verse 1, I want you to look at that. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The church struggles with this constantly. Somebody will make a mistake, and inevitably there will be three or four people standing in line to pounce on them like a pack of wolves. And they'll be standing around saying, well, if it was me doing it, this is how I would have done it. You don't know how you would have done it if you was there to begin with. So just shut up. I learned this way before I ever got born again about the church. Don't ever make a mistake, because all those good people are going to pounce on you. They're going to destroy you or do everything they can to destroy you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I learned something very, very valuable in AA. There was a group of people that came together in the spirit of unity, the way the church is supposed to come together, in the spirit of unity, and they had one common goal in mind. Only one goal. That's to stay sober and help others to get sober too. And when somebody would make a mistake, there'd be three or four or five of us that would go find this guy and get him out of wherever he was, take him to the coffee shop, or you know, whatever we had to do to help him get back on the right path, and we'd take turns staying with this guy around the clock. Go to the coffee shop with him, you know, go make sure he had something to eat, make sure he got some coffee, you know, made sure he had a safe place to stay, made sure things were right for him. And make sure he got to meetings, you know, and help him out. Do whatever we had to do, you know, help his family out. Whatever was going on. See, that's the way the church is supposed to be. when somebody makes a mistake, I didn't say if, I said when somebody makes a mistake, there needs to be four or five of us down there saying, hey, do you need some food? What do you need? Do you need just any help getting to church? Need help with your truck? What do you need? You see how this works? We need to be in the spirit of unity on helping people get grounded in the love of God. You know, I've noticed that we spend most of our time most of the people that show up in church usually don't end up having a lot of prayer. They get under the Word of God, and God ministers to them, and things seem to work out for them. I'm not saying that we don't ever end up praying for people. I mean, people get attacked. Get cheap shots, you know, sometimes, you know, we weave when we should have wobbled, or things happen to people. You know, we live in a world that, you know, there's this broken creation that we're in, and things happen. We have to pray for them, and that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. To bear one another's burdens. Help out. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, last Sunday we talked about the prayer for revelation. This is for people that are born again. You know, people that may be wandering around out there like a lost bird. And doing crazy stuff. And then you want to pray for them. And God gave us two perfect prayers. The Holy Spirit had Paul write these prayers down for the church. You know, we'll skim through this first one. But in chapter 1, verse 17, Paul wanted us to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. Now, don't you think your loved ones would be a lot better off if they had the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, who he is? You know, when a guy gets born again, that's his spirit gets born again, he still has to have his mind renewed to the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of wounded Christians running around out there. There's a lot of Christians that have been baptized. And they're born again. Some of them may even be spirit-filled. But they're still wounded. And they need help. And they may drive you crazy. And then some people say, well, he didn't really get born again. Yeah, he did. He got born again. He just didn't hang around long enough to get his mind renewed to the Word of God. And here's the thing. Sometimes people have some hurts, some wounds way down in their spirit, and they don't ever let them surface. They don't want anybody to ever know what happened to them. Sometimes some very horrific things have happened to some good people. It may have happened when they were children. It may have happened when they were in service. We don't know what may have caused these deep wounds in people. But they got them. And just because they got born again doesn't mean all that went away. It's still there and it's still very real. They may be happy, When they get to church, they may be happy when they're around, but at some point they're going to get by themselves and they're going to remember what happened. Jesus is usually the only one that can get deep inside of a person and heal him from the inside out. See, that's the one thing about communion. If we'll take that communion and really pull on Jesus, you know, pull on his healing and open ourselves up to him. Let those hurts come out. Bear them. Expose them to Jesus. Expose them to the light. He already knows they're there. He knows what happened. He knows. He knows everything. You're not hiding anything from him. Have any of you seen that painting of Jesus knocking on the door? Did any of you ever notice that there's not a doorknob on the outside of that door? He can't let himself in. He has to be let in. You have to open the door. The scariest things that most people will ever go through are dealing with the hurts that happened to them. Sometimes when they were children, sometimes maybe they were in an abusive marriage. You know, the atrocities that happen to people seem to be countless. But whatever happens to a person that causes them to have that deep, dark hurt in there that they don't want anybody to ever know about, that they don't want anybody to ever see, that they don't ever want exposed, those are the ones that are going to keep them from growing into true spirituality the way God wants them to be. But it's when we open that up and let Jesus shine his light on that. That's when we get to healing. Now there's a false teaching in the church, and it's a terrible one. People got the idea that the light is going to shine on your sin. The woman that got caught in adultery, the men drug her down in front of Jesus and threw her down on the ground and said, according to the law, we could stone her. But Jesus wrote something in the sand. Jesus is the light. Did he ever once mention her sins? All he talked about was said, where are your accusers? And she said, none. There's none to condemn me. He said, I don't condemn you either. That's what the light does. The light shines on those deep hurts so that you can have no condemnation. When the light shines on that deep, dark, scary secret that you have in your heart, it's there to heal you. It's not there to hurt you. It's not there to expose you. It's there to heal you and set you free. That's what Jesus is about. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to heal those with broken hearts. He came to heal those that needed healing. He came to save those that needed saved. We all need it. At some point, we all need saved. I know you're born again, but we need saved from things that hurt us. We need saved from things that scare us. We need saved from things that we don't know about. We need Jesus in there. I've dealt with a lot of wild and crazy people, a lot of people that were really set on drug abuse and alcoholism. And almost all of them had some terrible thing that they did or something that happened to them that caused them so much pain that they had to mask it with drugs and alcohol. And here's another thing. A lot of these people had the biggest, kindest, softest hearts that you'll ever encounter. But they keep it masked with drugs and alcohol, and they keep that part of them buried so that it can't be exposed because they don't want anybody to ever hurt them again. You know, some of the meanest, onerous people have some of the biggest, kindest hearts. They're mean and ornery because they don't want to be hurt again. They're protecting that part of them that they don't want anybody to ever touch that part of them again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 is the prayer for realization. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man." Now right there, that word, if you can be strengthened in your inner man by his might, through his Spirit, that's where we get our strength. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. It's him. It's him in us. That's what makes us strong. We're not strong in and of ourselves. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It didn't once say anything about you being strong in yourself. You are not strong enough in and of yourself. It's only through Christ. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our life. That's where we get our light. We need to be strengthened by his might in our inner man, down deep in us. Grant it to us. That means that he would give it to us. It's not something you're going to earn. It's not something that you can buy. It's something that is given to you. Now, from the prayer in chapter 1, we found out that it was through the understanding of him, learning about who Jesus is, learning who he is in us, learning about who he, what he did in us, what he does for us today. Basically, you're learning about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. Religion won't do. Self-help books won't work. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you realize that you can't earn anything from God, that you have to just receive it freely by his grace, the same way you got born again, you'll be five steps ahead of where you think you are before you even take the next step. Our focus needs to be on him. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being grounded, rooted and grounded in love. That's a big verse. A lot of us born again people we've got the idea. We've got the revelation that Christ is in our hearts. We did that by faith. One of the biggest challenges for people is to be rooted and grounded in God's love. There's so many schizophrenic Christians running around that they got this idea that one day God is happy with them, and then all of a sudden they did something wrong, so now God is mad at them. God blessed me with a wonderful wife, and then he took my kid. These are things that I hear all the time. People got the idea that one minute God's happy with them and then the next minute he's mad with them. I miss church, something bad's going to happen to me. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says that Christ took the curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. 100%. In God, there is no darkness. He is 100% pure light. All the way light. There is absolutely no darkness in him. Now, if he was going to give you a sickness to teach you a lesson, where is he going to get that sickness at? He doesn't have any sickness in him, so it's not him giving you the sickness. Remember, always remember, in John chapter 10, verse 10, says the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not from God. He didn't do it. It's not his fault. It's the thief. And God didn't just let him do it to you. People, we have this uncanny knack of jumping up and grabbing the curse and pulling it down around our ears once in a while. We do it with the words of our mouth. I'll never forget that picture of that monkey sneaking up on that sleeping lion with a stick. The monkey could go live happy, joyous, and free if he'd just leave that lion alone. People could live happy, joyous, and free if they would just leave the curse alone. Don't mess with that thing. Stay away from that thing. Leave it alone. How do we curse ourselves? I can't ever get anything right. Guess what? You're not going to get anything right if you keep saying that. I just can't sleep at night. You're get used to not sleeping at night if you keep saying that. I'm never going to get out of debt. Get used to being in debt if you keep saying that. My kid's always going to be an idiot. That sounds stupid to say, but I heard people say that. And guess what? Their kid grows up to be an idiot. I had people tell me, you're going to be a drunk just like your big brother and just like your dad. And guess what? I grew up to be a drunk. I said, you're never going to be successful at anything. You always quit everything. And guess what? I was never successful at anything and I always quit everything. Why? I was young and impressionable, and people that were older than me spoke words over me that took root in my heart, and it was a reality for me. It was something that I accepted. It was only until I got born again and started reading the Bible and started finding out that what God said about me was completely different about what all these important people said about me. So then I started doing all kinds of things that people said I couldn't do. And it really blew their mind when I stopped drinking. But here's the thing. We line up with the Word of God. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that there was somebody praying these prayers for me. Somebody was praying that I would learn about the love of God. That leads us to the next thing. When you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, you're going to understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're in right standing with God. I mean, God's not mad at you. He's not going to be mad at you 1 minute, happy with you the next minute. That's the way people are. Not God. God is pleased with you. He loves you unconditionally. See, people don't understand that love unconditionally. Moms do. They got that baby in their arms and that wrinkled up little thing they're so proud of. And they're showing them all around town, and all the other moms say, "Oh man, what a beautiful baby." And you're standing there like, he better start improving pretty fast. But moms love their babies. Moms love their babies. No matter how ugly looking that little thing may be. I can say this, I was the ugliest baby you ever saw in your life, man. I was pigeon-lipped, I had big ears, I was about that big round, and my head hasn't grown since I was born, I don't think. So my sister called me Mosquito. That's how I got my name, Skeet. Skeeter, you're a mosquito. I was built like one, man. But they loved me. God doesn't look at your character defects. He looks at you through the sacrifice of Jesus, and He loves you. He sees you as a perfect creation that is fearfully and wonderfully made. He sees you complete and whole in Christ. We look in the mirror and we see all our defects of character. We see all the things that we think is wrong with us, but God sees you as a new creature in Christ. See, that's one of the things that happens to us when we start being rooted and grounded in love, when we start understanding that we're in right standing with God, we start seeing ourselves the way He sees us. It's important for you to take a little bit of time once in a while and look at yourself through the eyes of God. See yourself how He sees you. One description that He gives us is in the book of John. And He says, and He's talking about Jesus. And He says, "As He is now, so are we in this world." How is Jesus today? He's pretty good, wouldn't you say? As he is now, so are we in this world. How do you suppose God sees Jesus? Pretty favorably, wouldn't you say? As he is now, so are we in this world. He sees you with great favor. He sees you healed and whole. He sees you understanding how much he loves you. How much do you suppose he loves Jesus? A whole bunch. And he loves us with the same love that he loves Jesus with. The same amount. He wants you to be rooted in love, so that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of his love. He wants you to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, a lot of people have the idea that God loves us because he sent Christ to die on the cross for us. That's not true. He sent Christ to die on the cross for us because he loves us. When a man realizes how much God loves him, there's a lot of focus in the church world for people to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body. And that's the law. And you need to drop that, because you'll fail. I promise you, you'll fail and you'll be miserable. You focus on the love that God has for you. You focus on how much God loves you. And then all this other stuff will take care of itself. It's impossible for you to love God without him loving you first. The Bible tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That didn't come about until you got born again. He loved you first. Don't get saved by grace and then pick up the works of the law trying to earn something from God. Go ahead and focus on how much he loves you. Get a revelation of how much he loves you, and then you'll love God. You'll love God effortlessly. It'll just be natural because it's who you are. He wanted us to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if a man's filled with the fullness of God, he's not going to be needing medication to calm himself down. He's not going to be drinking. He's not going to be drugging. He's not going to need anything to change his mood. He's not going to need sex. He's not going to be overeating. He's not going to be needing all these things that people mask these hurts with. When he's filled with the fullness of God, he's going to let that light of Jesus come into him, and he's going to let Jesus express himself out of him. Also, I've noticed when people are filled with the fullness of God, they're not standing in the prayer line or even having us pray for them from a distance. When they're filled with the fullness of God, they're going to be coming in. They're going to show up. They're going to be getting active in the church, and they're going to be doing some stuff. I've also noticed when people are filled with the fullness of God, their little resentments and church fights go away too. Verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Sometimes, you know, when we're praying for people, sometimes people get the idea that this guy is so far gone, there's no way of getting a hold of him. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't care how impossible it may look. I don't care how hard it might seem. I don't care how far gone this guy might be. Pray for him. Some people look at others and say, well, it's just too late for that guy. It's not too late. As long as he's got a breath in his body, it's not too late. I'll even one up that. I'll give you a double dog dare on that one. Jesus showed up to his friend's house, and that guy's sister come running out to him and said, if you had come here, he'd have been all right. And Jesus said, don't you know that I am the resurrection? And he went out to Lazarus' tomb. His sister said, he's been in there 4 days, man. He's stinking. He stunk when he was on the earth. He's really stinking now. But it's 4 days. He's been in the tomb 4 days. That's pretty late. Wouldn't you say that's pretty late? That's pretty late. But God's always on time. Did you ever notice that? God's always right on time. Jesus is never in a hurry. But he's always on time. This guy had been in the tomb 4 days. And he told him to come out, and he came out. That was a notable miracle. But it shook that Jewish nation to the core, because he meddled with their religion too at the same time. Because their religious belief was that a man's spirit would hang around for 3 days. But then once corruption set in, which was the fourth day, his spirit would go. And then it was impossible for him to come back. So here's Lazarus. He'd been in the tomb 4 days. That means corruption had been there. And his spirit got back in his body and came out of that tomb. That gave him another reason to throw rocks at him, because he played with their religion. If you got some strong religious beliefs that you don't want tampered with, don't hang around me. We're going to go full out grace of God, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, 100%. I want you to notice in that verse, according to the power that works in us. You have mighty, mighty, earth-changing power residing on the inside of you. You have the ability inside of you to change your world. You have the power on the inside of you to pray for your loved ones and see them be saved. You have the power on the inside of you to cast out demons. You have the power on the inside of you to cast out sickness. You have the power on the inside of you to still storms. You have that power inside of you. Remember, when you got born again, the mighty one moved in. The greater one moved in. That's why we say greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. He's in there. He is in there. And he has all the knowledge, and he has all the wisdom, and he has all the power. And he has everything that you need to pray and cause things to change. He just needs a little cooperation from us. He needs us to pick up the directions and return his word back to him so he can cause it to happen. Now, you personalize these prayers for your loved ones. We'll just pray this prayer for Randall. Here in verse 14, Father, we bow our knees unto you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you would grant Randall, according to the riches of your glory, that Randall would be strengthened with might by his spirit in Randall's inner mind, that Christ may dwell in Randall's heart by faith, that Randall would be rooted and grounded in love, so that Randall may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which you have for Randall, which passes knowledge, that Randall may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto you that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us and in Randall, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We pray this in the name of Jesus. See, you can personalize these prayers for your loved one. Put their name in there and do it on purpose and release your faith in the name of Jesus and watch God do what he has to do. So, Father, we're going to worship you with the communion. And we're going to take this communion on purpose. Now I want you to think about this. There's some people that have some deep hurts. If you have a deep hurt inside of you, this is your time to receive your healing. Open it up and let Jesus shine his light on that deep, dark wound in there. He's not here to condemn, he's here to heal. He's not here to shine a light on your sin, he's here to shine the light to get your sin away. He's here to get your sickness away, he's here to get your hurt away, your pain away. He's the only one that can do it. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the communion. We thank you for his broken body. And we thank you that it's by his stripes that we were healed. Father, we ask you to come down into the deepest parts of our innermost being. We ask you to come into there and expose those wounds that have hurt us for so long. Come in there and heal them over with the love of God that surpasses all understanding and the healing that only Jesus can provide. That pierced body of his that shed his blood for our salvation. And that burnt body on that cross that took the full wrath of your fiery judgment for us. Just take a minute and open your heart to Jesus and let him come in there. Tell him the hurt that you have. And ask him to come into your heart to take care of that. for taking this far healing. We thank you for it. That shed blood of Jesus was shed on purpose because God loves us. He shed his blood, and that blood completely washed away our sins. And according to 1 John 1:7, that blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. And it's that blood of Jesus that protects us. And that blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we can go boldly into his presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Praise God. Praise God.